Hey, church, how we doing? Good. Open up with me to Acts chapter 3. I'm looking forward to this month as we do this Say Yes board. It's a way to invite you into using your gifts and passions in our church. It also invites you into another kind of deeper level of community. A chance to get to know people, a chance to serve and use your gifts and passions, a chance to engage with other believers as you join a team and help the ministries of the church. Acts chapter 3, we're walking through Acts, and Acts chapter 3 begins with just an amazing story. And the next couple chapters of Acts are some of my favorite. So get ready, buckle up. Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, the early Christians, we read about the early church last week and how the Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began preaching. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were added to the movement as they realized who Jesus was. They repented. They were walking in this direction, thinking in this direction, and turned to Jesus to get their thinking and action aligned with Jesus. And then this beautiful thing called the early church started to rise. And it was a bunch of believers who met in individual homes, and they every single day devoted themselves to prayer, to reading the scriptures, to studying the scriptures, to eating together, to breaking the bread together, to being generous in their community, to living in this way of contentment that said, hey, I've got all that I need. I'm going to give the rest to others that have a need. Beautiful picture of the church. And we talked about how a lot of those early church things cuts against the water that we live in as a culture. And so how challenging it is for churches now to live those days. And we see the early Christians. They were part of still their Jewish roots. So they were going to the temple every day. They were participating in worship at the temple. As they started to transform their lives to figure out what it meant to follow Jesus. So, Peter, John, going to the temple as they've done for probably their entire lives. They go to the temple at 3 in the afternoon, which is a normal time to gather at the temple. Usually they were bringing sacrifices then. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So if you were unable to walk, unable to function as a part of normal society in this time, every day people would bring you to places like sitting in front of the gates as you go into the temple. And you would sit there and you would ask for money. You would ask for people to help support you in your life. When Peter and John was about to enter the temple, the man who was sitting there begging asked them for money. Now, as we walk through the story, I want you just to really take it in. And almost like put yourself there like you're reading it for the first time. Some of these stories happen and we just read it on the page. And we don't realize these were real people sitting in real cities in real moments together. So Peter and John are walking up to the temple. Normal day, right? Peter just preached a sermon. 3,000 people came to be in the church. So I imagine they're talking about like, how do we incorporate all these people? The ministry need is great. How do we meet the needs of all these people? How do we lead how they pray? How do we lead how they study scripture? How do we make sure these little gatherings are healthy? I'm sure their minds are just racing a mile a minute, right? And they hear one guy from the crowd of many. It's probably a lot of people sitting at the gate. and they hear one. Hey, can I have some money? Here's a question. What would you ask for if you were in that guy's position? What would you ask for? If you're sitting there and two guys walk by and you have the courage enough to ask for something you really need, what would you ask for? It's interesting. This guy, he's long accepted his reality in life, right? Like he was born this way. For his entire life, he's been unable to have a job. He's been unable, like in this culture, in that day and age, you are almost like cast aside in the community. And so he's long accepted his reality. He's long accepted, like, I will never walk. I will never be able to provide for my family. I will never be able to live a normal life that I see everybody else living. Every day looks the same. Every single day, my family brings me to the gates, and I sit here all day long and ask for money, and then I take that money and use it to live life. Because there's no other way for me. So it's interesting, because I'm not even sure he even thinks about asking for healing. Right? Like, this is reality. This is the way it's been in his entire life. Why would anything ever change? So the next crucial need is money. So that's what he's asking for. The question, what would you ask for, is primary for us. Like, if Jesus was sitting in front of you today, what would you ask for? It's a vulnerable question. So he asks for money, and Peter looks straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting it to get something from him. So, Peter, hey, look at us. We'll give you money. The guy's expecting him to say that. But what does Peter say instead? Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Take him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. So there's the question, right? What would you ask for if you were in this man's position? He asked for money. Peter looks at him and goes, "Hey, I don't have any money, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but here's what I do have. Jesus. I asked the question, what would you ask for? But here's the other question, maybe the one we're maybe more comfortable with. What would you give to somebody who was asking? What would you give? Like, think about it. As you walk around in your everyday life, you get up, you go through your morning routine, you go to wherever you go during the day, whether it's class or work or whatever, and you make your way through the day, we usually have a pretty set routine of things that we go through. What do you give as you go throughout your day? Maybe you give anxiety. And you walk through your day, and everything in you is anxious. And so as you go through your day, as you talk with people, interact with people, work with people, hang with people, sit with your family, like, you bring this presence of anxiety. What if something goes wrong? Where's this person? What's this person doing? What if this happens? Have you watched the news lately? What about this thing floating in space? What if it destroys us? What if it's aliens? What if it's not? Well, all these things, there's a million different things that we could bring anxiety to our lives in. Maybe you bring worry. So everywhere you go, you're pointing out the things that could go wrong, the things that you're worried about. You can't contain your own worry inside your own self, so you have to bring it to other people. Same with control. Or maybe you're that Christian who, when somebody asks you for something, or maybe even vaguely alludes to it, you're like, hey, I got a podcast for that. I got a book for that. Hey, you should read this. You should go through this. I got the answer. Maybe what you give is political opinions. Hey, here's what you need to believe. Here's what you need to think. Here's how you need to act. Maybe you're actually helping people, but maybe you're doing it so like you're like, hold on, I'll help you, I'll talk to you, or I'll engage with you, but let me just set up my phone here and video this so that I could document this. This would make a great Instagram story, a great picture. This would be great. Let me just document me helping you before I actually try to help you. Or maybe really you just have this compulsion to want to save people. And everywhere you go, you walk around, you're like, it's my job to save them, so I'm going to do what it takes to save them. Or maybe if we can be real, we can't give anything to anybody. Like we're too tired. We're too stressed. We're too worried. We're filled with too much anxiety. I have too much insecurity. And if I'm really honest, my relationship with Jesus really isn't that great a place. So I don't really know what I would give you anyway if it wasn't a tangible thing that I could help with. What would you give to somebody that was asking? How would you respond? Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Now here's the thing that's fascinating, is that this miracle is going to take place and fulfill a specific purpose here in this community, in this story. But the thing that I want to focus on is, what does Peter give? Peter gives Jesus. Now, that's not to say that we walk around and just go, well, I give you Jesus. I'm not actually going to help you. I give you Jesus. Sometimes we need to actually show up and give practical, life-giving things to people, right? Like, that's not the point of the story. But even in giving those practical, life-giving things, we can also bring Jesus. The point isn't whether you're healed or not. The point is, am I giving Jesus to you? The guy gets healed. They take him up by the right hand and they help him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles become strong. This is an amazing miracle. We read that and we're like, oh yeah, the guy started to walk again. He's been lame his whole life. He started to walk again. We just kind of read past that statement as though that wasn't the thing that was happening in the community. The thing the town was talking about. The miracle that took place in that moment. And the guy gets up and he goes with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. How cool of a moment is that? Like, everybody in the temple has been walking past that guy their entire life. They've given money to him. They've talked with him. They've probably hung out with him. They know the guy. And then to see him jumping and walking into the temple praising God, that is phenomenal, right? I can't help but think, Peter and John, I can't help but think that they're thinking back to Jesus. You remember Mark chapter 10? Mark chapter 10, when Jesus was walking by Bartimaeus. In Bartimaeus, Jesus asks, what can I do for you? And he's talking about faith. In Bartimaeus, Jesus says, get up and walk. I can't help but think, as Peter and John are walking, they're sitting there going, man, we did it. We're doing what Jesus told us to. We're going out. We're making disciples. We're preaching the gospel. This is what Jesus said that we are supposed to do. And now, remember that time when he healed that guy? Yeah, we just did it. The Holy Spirit just did it in us. I imagine they were just flying as they walked through that temple, watching that miracle, going, hey, we actually did something that Jesus did. Like the Holy Spirit is doing it, and we got to be a part of that, and that is amazing. They recognize him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Continuing on verse 11, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. This is most likely like they were at the outer parts of the temple gates. They're likely moving into the inner part of the temple gates, and this guy is clinging to them. And everybody is filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. And they are sitting there, and the people were astonished and came running to Peter and John. I love that word, astonished. I watched a podcast of John Tyson, and his reply when they asked, like, what is the mission of their church? And he said, our mission is to create astonishing disciples. Astonishing disciples. You'll see in the next one, it's not about what you do, but what you'll see in the sermon next week, it's not necessarily about what you do, it's what Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is doing through you and in you. That's astonishing. But isn't that awesome? I want us to be astonishing disciples of Jesus. I want us to know how to be with Jesus, so much so that we become like Jesus, so much so that we can go out and do the things that Jesus did, just like Peter and John. And I would love for people to run into people at Renew Church and be like, man, they are an astonishing disciple. Not because of them, but because of Jesus. Not because of what they bring to the party, but their presence. And we could tell, like this line from next week's sermon, they've spent time with Jesus. They have the Holy Spirit inside of them. There is something astonishing about their presence. Our mission here, make disciples and make disciples. Maybe we should change that. Make astonishing disciples. That make astonishing disciples. Y'all need to wake up. I can't even get an amen there. Let's go. I know it's early, but we gotta work on this, church. We gotta work on the talking back, right? So astonishing disciples, they were astonished. When Peter saw this, they said to him, so here's the thing, they're running to Peter and John. They're amazed, they're in awe, they're looking at Peter and John. And they're going, you're amazing. You're awesome. You did that healing. You were able to speak and you helped the man up and he began to walk. It's you guys. And that's where Peter just has to correct them a little bit. Why does this surprise you, he says, Why do you stare at us as if it was by our own power or godliness that we had this guy walk? I love that. Why are you looking at us? Like we had any power in this. I've never healed a person in my life. You think just now I started to have this power where I could walk around and heal people just because I thought it into existence? Just because I believe, like I manifested it, right? He goes, no, it's not us. Why do you stare at us as if we did anything in this? This is a beautiful point, right? When we give something to somebody, we can make it about us. Or we can point to someone else. They point to someone else. The God of Abraham, Isaac, why do you stare at us if it was by our own power or godlessness who we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified our servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. He's speaking to the Jewish crowd here, and he's confronting them, just like he did back in chapter 2. He's saying, you guys killed him. You guys disowned him. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but raised him up from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And then he says this, 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It's not my power. It's not my ability. It's not my thing that saved you. I'm in the back seat. It's Jesus. He's the reason. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the reason. It's Jesus. It's by the faith in Jesus that saved you, that healed this man. It is in Jesus' name and that faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. It's through Jesus' name. It's in Christ that there's power. It's in Christ that can bring the full healing. It's in Christ that the Holy Spirit can work through the people to put the power on display to point to Jesus. It's not to grow our ministries. It's not to be a good post, get a lot of likes on Facebook, or get a lot of hits, get a lot of views on TikTok. It's not for any of that stuff. It's not for me to stand in front of you and go, look what God's doing through us. Come be a part of what we're doing. Come give money. Come do all this stuff. No, it's not for any of that. It's for us to look to Jesus and go, it's because of Jesus that that is happening. It's in Jesus' name. That's where our hope is. That's where our power is. Want us to sit in these stories, because I think these stories have something for us. They have something for us. We're going to take part in communion this morning, but I want us to sit with some reflection questions. And there's a couple questions that I want us to pray as we're taking communion. The first is this: what am I asking for? Like, picture yourself sitting at the gate, helpless. What would you ask for? If Jesus was walking by, like blind, I don't know if he was blind or not, blind Bartimaeus, if Jesus was walking by and asked you, what do you want from me? What would your answer be? Here's the thing. Are you going to settle for silver and gold? Are you going to settle for that? Are you going to settle for like the surface thing? Just make my stress go away. I just need some more money in the bank account to do whatever I want to do. I just need this relationship to be better so that I can feel better. Like, are you going to settle for the surface thing? Or are you going to go in all in, even if you've kind of succumbed to this is my plot in life? Are you going to ask for the thing that you've always hoped for? Are you going to ask for the ways Jesus to show up in the ways that you've always dreamed he would? What would you ask for? Then the next question, what am I giving to others? What are you giving to others? Are you giving a stressed out, tired, exhausted, anxiety-filled life to other people? Are you giving your insecurities to other people? Probably unknowingly. What are you giving to other people? Are you giving the name of Jesus to other people? Are you giving the power of Jesus to other people? We talk about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be an astonishing disciple. And it's this: be with him, become like him, so you can go out and do the things that he did. Very simple, very basic thing, but it starts with being with him. We'll see next week in the story that the whole reason why anything is happening at all is because people noticed that they were with Jesus. What are you giving to people? And then the last question is simple, but profound. Who around me is sitting at the gate? As I walk by through my everyday life, who's just sitting there that maybe I haven't realized? Maybe I haven't paid attention to. Maybe I'm scared to interact with. Maybe I don't think I have anything to give. Who's sitting around you that you've just been walking by? I want us to think on those questions. I want us to pray those questions and listen for the Holy Spirit's voice. This morning, we're going to take part of communion, and Megan's going to come up and lead us through communion this morning. But I want to pray as she comes up. And Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for rising, for sending your Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we ask that we just be with you and begin to recognize your Spirit's voice. That we would be walking along our day, we'd be driving to work, doing whatever we do, and maybe we would be praying, hey, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? Who are you going to put in my path? And do I have anything to give? I want to get to the place where I give Jesus to people, where I'm aware enough to see who the Holy Spirit puts in my path, and that I give Jesus. I might give them a temporary thing that might solve a temporary solution, but I also want to give Jesus to bring that whole healing. So Jesus, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and make us aware of that small whisper of your Spirit. In your name we pray, amen.
Check, check, check. Is this one on? apologize. Do you know what? Can you set that up for me? Okay. Thanks, Logan. John 3:16 through 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And that is good news. As we enter into a time of communion this morning, I want to invite us to be aware of that gift, that God in his very self, gave Jesus, that we may be in right relationship with him. And so if you come to the table this morning, come to the sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify, not that you are righteous, but that you are sincerely in need of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you seek to be his true disciple. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in your own frailty and sin, you stand in need of God's mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek God's presence and to pray for the Spirit. Let us pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, in the things that we have done as well as the things that we have left undone. We have not loved you completely, God, with all of ourselves, and we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But we come to you. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. And for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. If we confess our sins, God is just and merciful and righteous and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Lord Almighty strengthen us, forgive us, and remind us how to walk in step with the Spirit day by day. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as they were passed on from Paul the Apostle and recorded in the Gospels. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf of bread, and he gave thanks and broke it." And Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And later on at supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and you drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Here at Renew, we have an open table. And so we invite you, if you have a trust in Jesus Christ, if you have acknowledged the work of Jesus on the cross and have started that relationship with him, or if you feel like today is the day to begin that relationship with Jesus, we invite you to come to the table. And so you'll walk down the center aisle. There will be servers on the side. We ask you to grab a piece of bread and the cup and return to your seats. And we will take of the elements together as we take communion. We invite you, reflect on those questions that Pastor Jamie gave to us. Take a moment to listen and to pray. And when you feel ready, come forward. The table has been prepared for you.